Thank you, Clover and Joe, and thank you for the whole team for all organising this first Startup 101 evening. And I hope from the level of interest that we'll see more like this happening. What we have in Sydney at the moment is actually quite special. It is happening around the world as well, which is great, but it's very special and quite unique. And in about a little bit of history, but and a little bit of context I hope to give you, and there's only sort of two main goals that if you could walk away tonight is that you felt a little bit more educated, and we've demystified the ecosystem for you a little bit, and probably also ideally if you were a little bit inspired and wanted to go the next step and maybe connect with the community, because if we build a hyper-connected community, we really can be a differentiated community globally. So like any community, I was going to try and put an underbelly spin on this and make it all dark and mysterious, but it's probably more like a university than an underbelly series. You'll hear words like lean startup, disruptive innovation, as opposed to sustaining innovation. And Joe also mentioned, you know, things like co-working, accelerators. We also use generally terms like hacker and hustler. And in a complementary way, okay, this is not in a bad golfer way. So just to give you some context on why the tech startup ecosystem in Sydney is particularly important. As one of my favourite prime ministers said, Paul Keating, he said, when they were handing out continents, not many people got one. And we're very lucky. So if you're on the west coast of Australia, 68% of the world's internet audience is in your time zone. Here on the east coast, 61%. Now that's a big audience. There's 2.4 billion people. When I started looking at this stuff in 99, 98, there were around 50 million people using mildly useful mobiles. Today, most of those people have or will have in the next 3 to 5 years exceptionally great mobile phones, better than the personal communication devices on Star Trek. So we're in a unique position already, but on top of that, as Clover's mentioned many times, there's 200 nationalities in Sydney, there's 150, I think, languages now on the east coast of Australia. We have deep, long-term relationships with North America and with Europe and the UK, and we have the ability to leverage, you know, a growing relationship in Asia that's really been going on for 100 years. It's not the start of the Asian century. So we're facing this sort of pretty cool location and a great context. And hopefully tonight you'll hear a little bit more about the hidden gems of this new economy. Going back to the early days, it was pretty dull, to be frank, and it's changed a lot. So the times I was talking about earlier, late 90s, I co-founded a division at Macquarie Bank to invest in startups, and we had to go all over the world to find 800. We looked at 200 in detail, and we invested in 8, and still didn't do the one we really wanted to, which was PayPal. So, shucks, missed that one. One other person in the room did, and I won't embarrass him, but hopefully you can talk to him out for a beer later. But we shouldn't be scared about this, right? We're in a unique situation. And in the old days, maybe we all thought that entrepreneurs were born, not bred. You know, you couldn't learn that. That's complete rubbish, right? With this term of lean, and we're not talking about Jenny Craig diets or anything, you know, with this term of lean I was mentioning earlier, there are tools now that being an entrepreneur is a science. Building a startup is a science. And by using a build, measure, learn, iteration, or experiments as we call them, there's lots of tools around, and this is one tool from one advocate group, and there's lots of them, and Riley Batchelor from General Assembly will talk about this a little bit later, and I'm sure also Kim Harris from PushStart will, but there's multiple tools like this. So this particular one is about getting the customer product or the market fit right as early as possible, as cheap as possible, so you don't waste years of your life building something that no one uses. So back in 98, 99, this guy, in hindsight, he was pretty smart. Professor Clayton Christensen, who's now at Harvard, wrote a book called The Innovator's Dilemma. And he coined a term, the disruption innovation, or disruptive innovation. And the point he made was that, you know, at any one market that has any one set of demands or a range of demands, there are sustaining innovation, and now we have research that tells us that sustaining innovation typically destroys jobs because it's just incremental improvements, efficiencies. And there's disruptive innovation, and certainly the short term, 3 to 5 year research shows that disruptive innovation creates jobs. It does attack legacy industries, it does, but it makes the economy ultimately more efficient because you're doing things in a different way, not just the same way faster. And hopefully, if you don't know what disruptive innovation means, I'm struggling with that one tonight, you should look it up. There's a great little Wikipedia page. It'll take you 10 minutes. But the short story is it's like what Kazaa or iTunes did to the music industry. And we have startups here in Sydney like GoCatch, which is doing the same thing to the taxi industry. So I won't continue on about that, but the short story is back in those early days, there literally was no ecosystem. It was nothing. We had to travel overseas, and every time we got there, SoftBank or one of the big Japanese or American or European investors had beat us to it. And there weren't very many being grown in Australia. Today, it's a different story. There is literally a huge, huge ecosystem with big pillars. And we're not talking about, you know, four pillars like the financial system. We're talking about dozens of pillars with thousands of people in each group. And there's a very good collegiate atmosphere where we support each other. And looking around the room tonight, hopefully I'll get a chance to point it out to you. There's people that have been active in the industry, Matt from Shoestring there. Pete from Pete, one of the co-founders, the lead co-founder of Fishburners. There's a lot of people here that genuinely care about the fact that we could be building the next economy. Okay, when Keating said that about the continent joke, obviously we have a history of riding on the farmer's back or riding on the miner's back, and I would encourage you to think about riding on the back of innovation or riding on the geek's back or the geek entrepreneur's back, something like that, because the jobs that our children will have, and I have a teenage daughter and a teenage son, will probably not exist today. The ones they will have in 5 or 10 years probably don't exist today. We are creating new forms of employment. So I love this because it reminds me of the ecosystem, and it's fledgling and it needs to be nurtured a little bit, and it's a bit sensitive, and I have to give credit to Reid Hoffman, the guy that started LinkedIn, which is one of the, you know, great global social media tools for professionals. I think there's 200 or 300 million people on that now. He's just written a book called The Startup of Me, which is encouraging everyone to think about themselves in those terms. And it's quite powerful. I was thinking about my now teenage son when he was a baby, and it was probably more like never stop farting. It's quite important because we want to be the squawking, uncomfortable, irritating hope for the future. And I think that's exactly what the startup ecosystem in Australia is becoming. So, I won't go on. There's just too many good speakers tonight. And I think I'm particularly looking forward to hearing Melanie from Canva because she epitomises the progress that the next wave is making. And I hope that we can tempt you to make a point of connecting and just make that first step into the unknown and seriously think about getting involved or at least supporting the ecosystem. Thanks.